So today in our Beef Shear, I applaud you all for coming on this off day. We're going to talk about the Chet HaEgel. And Chet HaEgel, you have to sort of put it in a certain context. You know, when you put it in context, then it becomes that much more challenging. So you have to imagine, I mean, here, Hashem took the Bnei Yisrael out of Yisrael. He redeemed them, he saved them, he took them out of this, you know, incredible, the depths of despair. He brings them to Har Sinai. He gives them the Torah. And then on the, basically, the night after he gives them the Torah, what do?
They go to the Kanega.
Right. So, yeah, think about it in this way. You know, think about it in terms of the Chazal. In fact, it's a very well-known imagery. They describe the relationship between God and the Jewish people in terms of a marriage. Right? That's the whole Shir HaShirim. We read Shir HaShirim on Pesach, and it's in terms of a marriage. So, and in this marriage, it's between the Ra'aya and the Dod. The Dod is the male, and the Ra'aya is the female. And the Dod, in the allegory, is God, and the female is Bnei Yisrael. So imagine this. You have this beautiful marriage with a, you know, husband goes down to, you know, think of a wife in Mexico, not in Europe, you know, obviously not in Europe. But she's stuck in this terrible situation and she's never going to get out. She was enslaved. She was caught and enslaved by this terrible, I don't know, who knows, like, you know, warlord, and she's enslaved and indentured forever, and he miraculously goes and miraculously saves her and redeems her, and they fall in love, and he brings her to this, to his home, and he's showering her with gifts, and she's this new person, and he goes away for 10 minutes, and he comes back after they got married, and their wedding night, and they have this beautiful wedding, and they're on their honeymoon, and he decides, honey, I'm going down for breakfast, and I'll be back, and I'm going to bring the newspaper, and he comes back upstairs with the newspaper, and she's in bed with the, I don't know, porter. What would you say?
First of all, it would be hard to believe.
Hard to believe, but she's doing it. Right, here, I saved you, I redeemed you, I made you
how
this new person.
You?
How dare you? And therefore,
unappreciative.
I will leave what? You.
I will leave you. What's the future of the marriage?
Get the hell out of my house.
Right, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. You know, if Har Sinai is the marriage of Bnei Israel and Hashem, it's the consummation of this relationship. It is, in a sense, it was the brit. We will be your atem tuli la'am, and I will be for you a god, and you will be for as
well,
a people.
Well, makes you think something else is going on. It's impossible. How could?
Is it impossible?
I would think.
You asked an excellent question, which is the question.
In my mind,
the question
this person
is,
has everything she needs, everything she ever wanted.
And yet?
Unless she doesn't believe it, for some reason. That it's all true and that she's trying to,
you know, it's
push
so,
it a little bit.
It's so interesting. So I'm on an email list, and a rabbi sent out, said, I need help. It's a very wonderful email list because really you can connect around the world. I need, there's a certain individual who the couple has gone through a life change, and then the husband decided for whatever reason he's questioning his faith. And so now he's in an atheist group. He joined an atheist group and he doesn't really want to be religious anymore, and the wife doesn't know what to do. Yeah, terrible things. And so when you get into these, like I mentioned last week, you always get a sense that there's something more. You know what I'm saying? And so one of the rabbis wrote back, and I think very correctly, he said, I'm not sure this is an issue which requires a rabbi. Right? When a person is in our marriage, in a relationship, and all of a sudden decides, he questions the existence of God, that's an indication there's something going on. There's some personal struggle, some difficulties, some whatever. So it's interesting that you say, well, in order for her to do what she did, something has to be wrong.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Something's off. Like, how would you be in that situation and then, you know, the porter shows up and, you know what I'm saying?
Like, could you say, I don't want to sound like a Epicurus over here, that it was too soon. Like, in your whole allegory story, mm-hmm. right? He takes her out and just marries her right away, mm-hmm. right? maybe that's too quick. Maybe if the person first needs to get used to freedom, maybe she first needs to get used to, needs to like get over
she
the trauma.
He was marrying.
Really?
Okay.
That too.
You fell in love, but the truth is you don't know who you're getting married to.
Right, in other words, I'm
shotgun wedding. The only problem is the problem with the allegory is like, this is us.
Like the people who have been enslaved for 200 something years, but right away you're going to expect them to just switch like that? To just all of a sudden become all believing in God, even after they saw what they saw?
Well, they did say, it says, it does say that they did believe. We all know, Vayiram et Hashem, Vayaminu b'Hashem b'Moshe Avdo.
That was yesterday.
That was yesterday. Ouch.
I'm just saying that Bnei Yisrael had been through a trauma.
Exactly.
They've been through a trauma.
Huge.
And all of a sudden, and even just the whole Geula was traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you still saw all these people, even though you hated them, you still saw a lot of death and a lot of confusion. And who's in charge and what's going on here? And then all of a sudden you're at Matan Torah and you're being told to do all these things and separate from your husbands and throw out all your stuff because it's not kosher. And then all of a sudden your leader leaves you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it reminds me of? Like a Bali Tshuva that like just jumps in all the way
and
too much at once, you know?
Yeah,
so it's so interesting, like, you know. You see this all the time, and I often say this. It's definitely a truism which I totally agree with, that there is a notion of biting off more than you can chew. And also what I often tell people is that fantastic events usually produce fantastic results that are very, 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 very shallow. You know what I'm saying? Like the example that I often give is, look at 9/11. Mm-hmm. You know, what happened in 9/11? America got jolted. The world was jolted. But what fundamentally changed about Americans? What fundamentally changed about America?
Nothing.
They start checking shoes.
Lines at the airport.
Correct.
The
lines at the airport. What fundamentally changed? Very, very little. You know, in Israel, there's a mentality here about security that's fundamentally different than in America.
Right? Like calling on Shabbos because someone has to do that.
Right, maybe, right, because, you know, God knows, you have to be aware. Like, there's a sense of awareness, you know, like, it's interesting. You go to the airport, and when you get on a plane to get out of Israel, they don't search you, they don't nothing, because they look at you.
They already know who you are.
They know who you are. You know what I'm saying? Like, in America, it's so different. You get on a plane, they strip search you, they steal your water, they, you know, they won't let you take toothpaste. But it's superficial.
Point, yeah.
It's they don't understand.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So like, Matan Torah, Kriyat Yom Suf happened, was this cataclysmic event, and they did believe, but it was a superficial belief. It wasn't a deep belief, and I think you're totally right about that. When you see people who become Baalei Tshuva in an instant, and like the first thing, the kid's hair is going long, and the guy's tzitzis are out, and they're like so fervent, you almost always know that it's like, you know, it's too much. You know, the people that I've been privileged to really get to know that were serious Baalei Tshuva, like, you have to counsel them and say, whoa, you are not in a position to be able to do X, Y, and Z. You have to take it slow. And at some point, you know, people have gotten angry at me and they're like, you know what I mean? I'm ready. I'm this, I'm that. Just relax. You know what I'm saying? You are not ready to be where I am, and that's fine. And I'm not going to, you know, and don't expect yourself to be there. And when you take it slow, and you could build on your successes and you can integrate yourself, then it becomes more real. But the Jewish people clearly, for whatever reason, were not ready. It was not, you know, it's almost like, it's almost like you sort of feel bad for them that they're in this sort of catch-22. That in a sense they have to have Matan Torah. There has to be a clean break. There has to be a cataclysmic event to get them away from Mitzrayim. But there's almost nothing you can do in order to sort of change that situation. You know, it's almost... The example that we're giving, you know, this idea of Aliyah. You know, it's almost impossible to, on the one hand, break somebody from who they are and say, become somebody new, become somebody different. But it's almost what you have to do in order to sort of to make it. So how do you do what you have to do when it's impossible to do? You know?
Yeah.
It's a very, very difficult situation. And that's why, in some senses, I don't like the notion of sugarcoating it. And promising these people, you know, I tell people a lot that I disagree strongly with the notion of that they promote this idea of live the dream. That you can live the dream, and it's going to be this dream world, and it's going to be like, you know, everybody wants to, you know, and it is a dream. But it's not a dream. There's a real life. And to promise somebody
you
this...
You have to work hard.
Yeah.
Achieve it.
You know, I told them...
You have to give up to live the dream.
What?
You have to give up.
Oh, yes, you do. So I told them that what I want their slogan to be, I want them to steal from Home Depot. Home Depot's motto was, you can do it, we can help.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It's not, you can do it, we can help, means it's hard.
Mm-hmm. That's a
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the problem with you can do it, we can help is nobody wants to hear on the other end that it's hard. You know, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear, I don't want to go to, I'm not moving to Home Depot. I'm moving to Barbados. You know, it was a blog post. So let's see, it is, it really is an important one. You know, but they're going to get me in trouble. Turn to chapter 32, and we'll see what happened to the Jewish people. We're going to see that there's so much enmeshed in the language of the Chumash and Chet HaEgel, and it's so it speaks so strongly. I'm going to read you a couple of midrashim as well, which is very, very powerful midrashim. It says the Torah, Vayar Ha'am ki boshesh Moshe laredet min ha'har. The nations are just those words. The nations are ki boshesh Moshe laredet min ha'har. Okay, what strikes you right away in that pasuk?
What's that word, boshesh?
Yeah, exactly. What is that word?
Is that busha?
Boshesh, good for busha. What else could it mean? Well, look at Uglis. You can look at Uglis and know right away, even though you don't speak Aramaic.
Ochar.
What does ochar mean?
Late.
Let's look at Rashi. So, meaning your immediate question is going to be, that when you read Sukkim, what they tell you to do in Beis Yaakov is well, look at Rashi, or look at the Mepharshim first. That's not the first thing you're supposed to do. What's the first thing you're supposed to do?
No. Supposed to think what's wrong.
Correct.
Oh.
Right.
Not
they didn't teach
that.
You that, did they? No, they didn't teach you that. You're supposed to think what's wrong. It's immediately wrong, you notice. You immediately read. What is that word? But instead of what you thought was, well, I don't know what that word means. Somebody should tell me what the word means. Mm-hmm. As opposed to saying to yourself, why don't I know what that word means? Meaning, I don't know what the word boshesh means either. But it doesn't seem to fit in the context. The nation saw that Boshesh Moshe laredet min ha'har. Moshe was embarrassed to come down from Busha. Doesn't make sense, right? So what does it mean in context?
He was late.
He was late. So then you're required then, but then you have another question, which is a very legitimate question. If it means he was late, what should it have said?
Echer.
Right. Ki echer Moshe. The word le'acher means you're late.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The word Boshesh is not a common use for the word to be late. So now, what's the Mepharshim's question going to be? Every parish is going to have this question. The question is, and a very good question, why does it say a word that doesn't really fit in mean to be in place? Why does it say boshesh when it could have said icher? Now let's look at Rashi. It says, Rashi, ki boshesh
boshesh. It's a real word, no?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Meaning, but anytime you see something like that, the language of the Torah is divinely precise. Right? If God wrote the Torah, which we believe he did, so he's trying to communicate something, not just in the story, but in the language too. What's trying to be communicated? Okay, so the nation saw, look at Rashi, kitargumo, lashon ichur. Right. You got Rashi?
Yeah.
Rashi says, like Targum, like Unklus. You want to use this one? Sure.
You get used to it, and you can't go back.
Yeah, you have one though, don't you?
I do, but I thought,
you thought it was like Megillah. Okay. Language ki boshesh richbo, right? It's a language of late. Ki boshesh richbo. Shoftim he chache. Boshesh richbo. Anybody know what that's from? Boshesh richbo? Anybody know what that's from? His chariot is late. Whose chariot was late to come? Someone's chariot is late in coming.
And Shoftim?
Yeah. And his mother was upset about it. Sisra, the king Sisra, right? Remember, Dvorah is singing, and the general, the evil general Sisra, right? Yael, great. Okay? Vechiu Adbosh. Okay, now Rashi's going to tell us a story, very powerful. Kisha'alah Moshe Lahar, when Moshe went up to the mountain, Amar Lahem, he said to them, V'sof arba'im yom ani ba betoch vav sha'ot. Right? I'll be back after...
40 days.
Okay? Listen to what happened.
40 days and 6 hours.
I'll be back by 12 noon in 40 days. Kisvurim heim, they thought, she'oto yom she'ala min haminyanhu. They thought, well, what's today?
day one.
Today is day one. V'hu amar lehem shleimim. Arba'im yom v'leilo imo. And he said to them, I'll be back in 40 days. So what's today?
39.
No, today is day zero.
Right.
You know, and today, I'll be back in 40 days. What he meant was, I'll be back, tomorrow's day one.
Isn't that logical?
And they said, today is day one, tomorrow's day two.
But that
which makes
not
most
logical.
Sense. What, really?
Way.
I'll be back in 40. I'll be
tomorrow,
back.
Tomorrow, then.
I'll be back in 40 days on the 40th day.
I'm just thinking about like with. Let
me ask you this way: what day of the week is a child is of the birth?
The eighth day.
Okay. Except, if a child is born on Sunday, when is the birth?
Next Sunday,
which is in how many days?
7 days.
Right, meaning because the first day is the day of counts as the day. So, is it logical? Which is more logical?
It is confusing.
Right.
Okay.
It is confusing.
Okay. Nimtza.
So with Taras Mishpacha, it's the same thing. You count the day that, you know, when you have to count the next 30 days, same thing. You have to count that day.
Yes. It depends which, right. Exactly. So it depends on which day and who got confused. It was a confusion. Okay, so they thought it was the day, and he said the full days. Arba'im yom v'leilo imo. V'yom aliyato ein leilo imo. So then Rashi goes through the whole thing. Said, I want to read you, I'm going to read you an unbelievable medrash. What is boshesh? Okay, so what does the word boshesh mean? Says the midrash. It's just a midrash tanchuma, a very, very important midrash to know, because the midrash, it's very descriptive of what a person's mentality goes through when things don't go right. You know what I'm saying? When things start not to go the way you think they're going to go. So imagine that here are the Jewish people. You have to picture them. They're in the desert. They're around a mountain. They just had an incredible, amazing event, right? The person who brought them there is feeding them miraculous food, and they're drinking from some miraculous spring. And then he leaves. And he says, I'll be back. Great, I'll be back. Okay? Now, in the back of your mind, he said, I'll be back. But what do you start to wonder?
If you believe him.
Well, what if he doesn't come back? Where do we go? Well, that's easy. We just go where? Where are we, by the way?
In the middle of nowhere.
Right. Oh, no. Oh, we could just find it on a map. No map, no GPS. How did we get here?
But Aaron didn't have instructions.
How did we get here? No. How did we get here?
None.
Right, there was a cloud and fire at night. Who gave us that cloud?
God.
Right. Through whom?
Through Moshe.
Through Moshe. Right, so how are we going to get back? Interesting question. Okay. Says the Midrash. He said, what is Boshesh? Okay, Boshesh, the Midrash says, where is Moshe? Okay, at the end of 40 days, Baha Satan, the Satan came, V'irbev et ha'olam, he confused the world, V'amar lahem, and he said, Moshe Rabbechem, Heichan hu. Where's your rabbi? Where's Moshe? You don't have this, I'm just reading inside. Amru lo, they said to him, Allah lama rom. What do you mean? He went up to heaven. Where should he be? Okay. And by the way, what happens to people who go up to heaven?
They don't usually come back okay. They like it better than you.
Yeah, if you noticed. Okay. Amar lahem ba'ushesh v'lo hishkichu. They said, and he said, oh, by the way, when the Satan, we're going to talk about the Satan in a second. So when is he coming back? They said, oh, by the sixth hour. And he said, 1 second, what time is it? 1, 2, 3, 3 o'clock, seventh hour, eighth hour, ninth hour. Where is he? What is Boshesh in the words of the Midrash? Ba-shesh. The sixth hour has come and gone. Vayar ha'am, they saw, ki Boshesh, it means he's late, but it also means he's past time, he's past due. Ba-shesh. And he's not there. Amar lahem ha-satan, the Satan said, Mate Moshe Rabchem, v'lo hishkichu alav. He's died. And you're without a leader. Right? And it says, Her'ah lehem dmut mitato. The Satan showed him the image, the dmut of his bier, of his coffin. And then they're like, oh God, we're dead. We got to do something. I'm going to do another midrash, because I know there's another midrash that does it in broader terms. Okay? So that's the midrash, the following. Here we are. Ba sheisha'ot. Sheisha'ot, 6 hours came. Mifkansu arba'im elef erev rav she'alu im Yisrael. It's interesting, the midrash says, who was it that started this whole thing? The erev rav. Right? So what did the erev rav connote? Right? What are these erev rav?
Or like the lower class.
Well, even more than the lower class. The Erev Rav Allah Itam. Why would Erev Rav leave Egypt with the Jewish people?
They probably didn't have it so good there themselves.
Right, but meaning you have your essential people that are believers, and then you have Erev Rav. Why do Erev Rav join in? Because they have an opportunity. They're people who seize an opportunity. Right, but it doesn't mean they were part of the true believers of the Jewish people. And you always have these people that say, well, if you're leaving, I want out. Why wouldn't I want out? Okay? They're not helpful. So the problem is, though, if you're not part of the core group, as soon as things go bad, what happens? You didn't believe in the first place. So what are you going to do? Well, I'm not in it for the bad. I was just in it for the good. Ushnei chartumei mitzrayim imahem. There were two chartumim, two Egyptian magicians. And their names were Yonos and Yombros. Okay, and they knew how to do kshafim. Nikalu al Aaron vayomru. They gathered up against Aaron and said, Moshe, shuv, eno yorei min ha'har. Moshe, he ain't coming back. What's going to happen? Ve'oto hayom yom arba'im haya b'shei sha'ot bayom. And they said that day, it was the 40th day, 6 hours. Amru lahem Aaron v'chor. Aaron v'chor said, Achshav yorei min ha'har. He's coming back. Lo hishkichu. They didn't listen. The Satan amad, the Satan stood up. The Heralem dmut mitato min hahar. The Satan showed them. Now, what does it mean that the Satan showed them the death, the bier, the coffin of Moshe? Did the Satan really show them? Was there a Satan? I mean, the Midrash, some people would say yes, literally. The Satan came and he showed them. What does it mean that the Satan showed them the coffin of Moshe?
Made them imagine.
Right. What happens when things are not going well?
Just you're seeing things.
Yeah. You start. This is a psychological absolute truth. Anybody here major in psychology or take psychology or whatever?
I took psychology.
So what happens in your mind? You begin to create scenarios which fulfill either your
what you expect to see.
Correct. You know what I'm saying? That this is not. Is it as bad as I think it's going to be? And you start to say, well, you know, he didn't come back down yet. So if he didn't come back down yet, then what must the truth be if he didn't come back? I knew he wasn't going to come back. As soon as he went up, I knew that he was abandoning us. And now it's the 40th day and the 6th hour and he didn't come back yet. And so you begin to see things and, well, look over there. See that cloud? But, you know, that's it. That's his... God is showing us. He's not coming back. If he's not coming back, we're in big trouble. Amad Chur v'garbem. This is a very famous midrash. Chur stood up and rebuked them. You're crazy. Go back to your tents. He'll be back. So what did they do? What happened to Chur?
They killed him.
Amdu Allah v'harguhu. They killed him. Gesherah Aharon Cain. When Aharon saw this, Nityarei, he became fearful. V'itchil ma'asikam b'dvarim. So he started to stall. Started to talk with them. V'heim amrula, and they said, Kum ase lanu Elohim. Get up and make for us a God. V'akol golu disnei mi shamar v'haya ha'olam mahim v'akshim. Everybody knew God knew what they wanted. Amar lehem Aaron. Aaron said, so what did Aaron say? We'll see in a second. Pirku nizmei zahav asher ba'aznei neshechem. Go get me your wife's earrings. Amar Aaron lahem davar kashe. So Aaron said, like, he didn't say, give me your earrings. Right? The men all wore jewelry. He said, give me your wife's earrings. Why did he say that?
They wouldn't
want to
give up.
Right, he said something was harder. Shehem ra'u nisim v'agvurot sha'asah Kadosh Baruch Hu b'mitzrayim v'yahu v'sinai. Right? They said, right, he knew that the women were more spiritual than the men. It's always men. What are you going to do? It's going to be terrible. Go find. He says, go to your wives and get me gold. Halachu etal hanashim. Okay, they went to the wives. Amdu alayim v'amru, what do the women say? This is all for you. Chas v'shalom chalila shenichvor v'akadosh baruch hu. Gotta love the women. Are you crazy? We're going to give you our goal to make an idol to rebel against God. So then it says, Kevan Shaloshan Mulam, the women didn't listen. It says, Vayiparku Kohaham as Nisme Azav Asher Beaznehem. And the men said, okay, we'll give you our gold. Okay, it's interesting. They had gold in their ears, and what did they first do?
First trying to get
them. Yeah, get their wives to give them the gold. But, you know, what are you going to do? Gotta love us men. You know, but there's so much, there's depth in there. There's such an interesting depth that, on the one hand, the Midrash says the Erev Rav, but the Erev Rav, that as soon as things turn bad, what the Erev Rav do? I'm not saying. Let's get out of here. We have to do something about this. And they play on the fears of
everyone.
You know, and it's very hard when somebody's telling you, we're in big trouble. You know, and there's a sort of panic involved. So you begin to believe in the panic. You begin to believe the press. We're in big trouble. What are we going to do? Go to Aaron? Aaron says, relax. We don't want to hear relax. 6 hours. Chor says, go home. I told you we don't hear it. You take care of this or else.
So how did making the egel fix their... Like, what did they think about the egel would fix their problem?
Let's read. Very good. Well, Ya'aran. That's an excellent question. Kiboshesh Moshe l'arbede minahar v'yikahel ha'am al aharon, and the nation gathered against Aaron v'yamu elav. Kum aseilanu Elohim, asher yelchu lefanenu. Get up, kum, aseilanu Elohim, make for us an Elohim. What is an Elohim?
God.
A God. It means literally God, but it means other things as well. Okay, we'll see in a second. Kizem Moshe ha'ish asher ha'elanu me'eretz Mitzrayim lo yadanu mehayelo. This man Moshe that brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him. What do they want? Somebody's cheating and looking at the impression.
No.
You're not?
Mm-hmm. Actually didn't.
What?
Actually didn't impression.
Okay, I need to switch with you because I'm going to in a second. I did look at the impression.
I can use this.
No, it's all right. What did they say? Listen to what they said. Get up, make for us an Elohim. Where does the word Elohim appear? What is an Elohim? Where does the word Elohim appear? It obviously always appears in terms of God. But it appears in another context. What?
Shofet.
Where does it mean shofet? What does a shofet mean?
You'll go to the...
Where else do we see in this context? Very good. Where do we see the word Elohim? Okay, in the context that it cannot mean God.
In Yitro?
Before Yitro. But does it mean in Yitro? Okay, 1 second. Okay. Okay.
Kivo elai ha'am lidrosh Elohim. That's Yudchei.
No, but that means they come to seek out God. Okay. Doesn't it?
I mean, the Torah. There's a different.
Yeah.
And the Torah will often use different words to mean different things. Okay?
No, the same word.
The same word to do different things. I'm looking for a certain one where Hashem is talking to Moshe at the burning bush. Doesn't it say that you will be an Elohim to Paro? The Aaron Achicha Yiyeh Neviyecha? I just can't find the specific pasuk right here. Okay. Chalav Ivanecha.
Paragimel
somewhere. Azabiyadecha. It's a little harder without it, it has two words on here. Yadati. Here we are. Perik Dalit Pasuk Tazan. Let's read it for you. Vidiber Hulach Elaham. Aaron will speak for it to the nation. Vahayahu Lecha Lepeh. He will be your mouthpiece. Vaatati Yelo Lelohim. And you will be for him as a Elohim. Uncle is translated as L'Rav. What's a Rav? An Elohim here. Rashi says, Rav Ulisar, a master. So what does it mean when they say, Kum Aseilanu Elohim? Do they really think that the eagle is a god?
No, but for some reason they think it could be there. It can leave them.
It can leave
just
them.
Like Moshe.
Just like Moshe. So in what they say, it's interesting. They listen to the language. Let's look back at our from Ashir and Lamed Bet. Vayomer Elav. Kum, get up, asay lanu Elohim. Make for us a
master.
Unclear. Elohim. We don't know what they mean. Why? Ki zeh Moshe ha'ish. This man, Moshe, asher he'elanu me'eretz Mitzrayim, that took us out of Egypt. Lo yedanu mahayelo. There's so many problems here. What problems do you see in this pasuk?
Hashem took them out.
Yeah, very good. Problem number one. Zeh Moshe ha'ish asher he'elanu me'eretz Mitzrayim. Who took you out of Egypt?
God.
Right. Mm-hmm. We know that. Moshe knows that. Mm-hmm. God knows that. Apparently, who doesn't know that?
Israel.
Right. Lo yadanu mahaya. We don't know what happened there. So we need something that'll get us out of here.
Also, like, what was the rush?
What?
No, like, what was the rush? They were getting money. They had food. They had water. They weren't being enslaved.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why were they so... Why did it have to be mad?
Now, what I find interesting, now let's look back at a pasuk that I just quoted you before. It says, "Vayu ha'am et Hashem, vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe abdo."
Why do they have to believe Moshe?
They believe. Well, they need to. We need to believe in a way that's very, very important. We need to believe in Moshe because Moshe is the conduit through which we receive the Torah. If you don't believe in Moshe as the Eved Hashem, then the word that Moshe has transmitted to us are meaningless. And this is a problem that much of American diaspora Jewry is dealing with now. Right? If you'd ask the average Jew on the street, right, do you believe in that Moses was a servant of God and he transmitted the word of God through the Torah word for word? The average Jew, vast majority of them will tell you, no, I do not. Right? This is one of the fundamentals of our faith. That you must believe, we must believe, that God gave Moshe the Torah word for word and Moshe transmitted it to us. Without that, this is just another book. A nice book, but another book. Big problem. But what does it mean when I say, you can read it another way, Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe avdo. Maybe it means that they believed in Hashem and Moshe together.
As a team.
Yeah. Take away Moshe.
I still believe in Hashem.
Oh, you believe in Hashem, but I'm gone. I'm lost. Right. Without Moshe, so I'm stuck.
He's the middle guy.
Right. I need a middleman. I need a connection. Okay?
But Hashem chose Moshe. They didn't choose Moshe. So what makes them think that by them making this idol, Hashem's going to want that idol?
I don't know. Excellent question. Again, but Hashem chose Moshe, and now there's nobody, again, we can't relate without a Moshe. Right, we believe in a God through Moshe. Okay, we don't know what happened to him. Let's look at I'm going to look at Rashi. No. See, I just want to comment on this, that this guy, Moshe, right, who took us out of Egypt. It's a very strong language. They don't know. So now let's go on a little bit. I'm going to read, there's a few things I want to point out, but we'll keep it short. Vayomer Elohim Elohim Aharon. So Aharon says, Parku nizmei hazahav asher ba'aznei neshechem b'neichem uvenoteichem ba'aviyu elav. Okay, give me your gold in the ears of your wives and your children and bring it to me. Pasuk Gimel. Vayitparku kal ha'am b'nizmei hazahav asher ba'azneihem. Vayivuel Aharon. The Midrash is very sensitive. They did not bring their wives and their children's jewelry. What did they bring?
Their own
jewelry. Pasuk Dalet. Vayikach mi'adav. He took it from their hands. Vayatzar oto v'acheret. And he formed it in the... We don't know what the cheret is, but let's assume it's the mold. Vayaseu egel masechan. He made it a molten egel, a molten calf. Vayomru, and they said, Eile Elohecha Yisrael, Asher Elucha me'eretz Mitzrayim. This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of Egypt. Pasuk Hei. Vayar Aharon vayiven mizbeach lefanav. Aharon built an altar. Vayikra Aharon vayomar chag l'Hashem machar. And he called and he said, a holiday for God tomorrow. I must tell you, this is like Aharon really, when you read the psukim, it's very, very difficult to understand. Like Aharon does not come out so well. He not only made the Egel, he built the altar, and he says, well, so the Chazar are looking to get Aharon out of it, in a sense. They look for outs.
But he says it's Mahar, difficult. So right. That shows, not today, tomorrow,
oh, good.
Pushing off. You need time to cook.
Right. Okay, you know, right. If you're looking for it, if you were looking for it, but if you were looking at it objectively, right, who would you say is a key player here?
Yeah.
Right, Aaron looks like a key player. And you can say he's forced, you can say all these things, but Hur in the Midrash gave up his life, and Aaron did not. Now, I often comment, it's very interesting to me. Let's say we as a community, the Jewish community of Yad Binyamin, you know, we wanted to, I don't know, build a anything for the shul. Okay?
Yes.
You know, pick something. We need a new parochet for the Bima. Okay? How long would it take us?
A long time.
Why?
Because we'd have to discuss
many opinions.
On the list, there would have to be option A, B, and
B. You're absolutely correct. Right.
Were you at the thing last night?
I was not. Were you there?
Oh, yes. That's a new... Were you there?
No.
Oh,
it was. I heard it was funny.
Parody on like.
Oh, well that
option A,
was
option
it funny?
One, option two, option three. You know, I came very late because I was busy with kids and stuff. But David said it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
It was a little too long, but it was funny.
Okay. Yeah, we would. That's exactly right. But you're exactly right. You have to first form the parochic committee. Who's on the committee?
Are there women on the committee?
Are there women on the committee? There are men on the committee, right? And then we have to decide the best color for the parochet, and when, you know, the size of the parochet. And once they decided, I knew they have to have a budget for the parochet. And, you know, like...
Hierarchy.
Right, is it the right material? And then this one doesn't like the color, and that one does like the color. And then the, you know, the Vada ear is going to have to go back and approve the budget and tell me you did it wrong and make you start over again. And if I wasn't a Jesuit, if I wasn't telling you the truth, it would be funny.
Different quotes.
How long did it take them to make an ego?
It looks like it took them an hour.
An hour to make an egel masecha. Give me your gold. Everybody gives them the gold, right? How long does it take to make this thing? By the next day, they're ready to worship an idol. It's
how big was it?
What?
Do we know how big it was?
Very small, I'm sure. But even so, to make an egel, it's unbelievable. What is God's reaction to all this? Because I want to keep it short. Look at what Hashem's reaction to is. Skip the pasuk Zion. A very interesting pasuk. Okay, that, you know, and it shows Hashem's reaction. Ah, very good. You ever see that before? Vaydaber Hashem Moshe. Hashem says to Moshe, Lech raid. Lech raid. Translate those two words.
Go and tremble?
Go raid, down. Raid. Laredet.
Oh, go down.
Go down. Okay? In other words, how would we translate that in today's vernacular? Lech raid.
Down.
Two words. Get out. Not Moshe, I think you need to go down. Lech raid. It's poor Moshe. He's sitting there. He's like on the highest of the highs. He's spiritually communing with God, quite literally, absorbing the depths of the Torah. Everything's great. All of a sudden, God in some way turns to him. Everything changes. God turns very, you know, like it was hunky-dory. Now all of a sudden, God turns back and says, get out. Why? Ki shichet amcha asher he'eleita me'eretz Mitzrayim. Just translate.
This is interesting.
Because, what's interesting?
He'eleita, you brought down.
Correct. Your shichet amcha, shichet means has become destroyed, has become perverse.
Your nation.
Your nation that you took out of Egypt has become mashchit, destroyed. Like, what's Moshe's reaction? What would your reaction be? Well, what does he say? Sar marrying a derech asher tzivitim. They quickly abandoned the derech that I commanded them. Asru ham egel masecha. Okay, they made for them an idol. Vayishtachavulo, vayizbechulo, vayamru elo alhecha Yisrael asher halucha me'eretz Yisrael. They said, "This is the God, your God of Israel, who you have taken out of Egypt." If you are God, right? God is God. Say to Moshe in the language, "Get out." Remember this people.
Right? It's your problem.
It's your problem. Not my problem. They are your nation. You know why they're your nation? Why do I say they're your nation?
You took them.
Because they said you are their nation. I'm just telling you what they said. They said, Zeh Moshe Ha'ish, Asher He'alanu, Me'eretz Yisrael. Moshe took us out of Egypt. You know what, Moshe? Keep them. I tried. I married them at Har Sinai. Right? I wanted them. We had a wedding, we had the whole situation, we had the whole story, and then what happened? I wake up the next day and they cheated on me. And you know what? I don't really want them anymore. No, thank you. I'm not interested anymore. You keep them. And in a sense, like, you know, you understand Hashem's reaction. You understand Moshe's despondency and Moshe's, like, anger. And what, like, so you ask yourself now, what, now you have to ask yourself, what if you were Moshe, could you possibly say to God? And in that context, you have to read Moshe's response and see. What I want to focus on is, and just to sort of sum it up, is to understand where Moshe's, where the people are coming from, where everyone's coming from. We understand the people, in a sense, you could understand why they feel so connected to Moshe. And if this mistake, this miscommunication happens, the panic that ensues, and it's almost an immediate panic, what's their rush? You know what their rush is? Well, you ask the question, what's the rush? Why don't they just wait a day? Really?
You know, they're so vulnerable, no?
They're so vulnerable, yeah. But Moshe's only been with them for a year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, he's not even, you know.
You mean there's no sense of
it's
confidence.
Like he hasn't been their leader for 40 years. He's been their leader for right. a year. A year in which crazy things happen.
Right. The rush is when you come into a situation where you're in a panic, you can't calm down and take things slow. Mm-hmm. You can't. I need an answer, and I need it now. Right. And most often, that's the very worst thing to do. Because it's a very human emotion. You know, things are bad, so let's solve this problem right away. And the problem is, the solution that you're going to, the immediate solution that you're going to have to the problem is bad. What's the best solution? Almost always to any problem?
Cool down.
Calm down. Yeah. Let's analyze the situation. Let's see what's really going on. But unfortunately, as human beings, that's almost always the very last thing we do. No, I want an answer. Let's get an answer. We'll solve the problem. We'll take care of it. No. Step back. Mm-hmm. So what do? They create an immediate solution. That's not a solution. It only exacerbates the problem. Right? It's almost like this human condition that they're caught up against. You know, and so what does God do? God does the understandable. Look at what they did to me. Here I am, I did all these things for them, and they abandoned me.
They're still Emotions human.
In the middle. What?
They're still human.
Yeah. At Har Sinai.
Hashem knows that.
At Har Sinai, they experienced. Hashem does know that. See, it's always a very interesting question.
Like, Hashem could have avoided this whole thing.
How? Not giving them the Torah? Not giving them the Torah?
Sent a nevuah to Aaron. Don't worry, he's coming back.
Okay, could he?
Was he pushing the buttons?
What?
Why not?
Why didn't he? Good.
Maybe it was a test.
And? Obviously it was
failed.
A test. What?
Failed.
Right, so why did Hashem remove Moshe? That's a very good question. Why did Hashem remove Moshe for the 40 days? Why did Hashem allow the confusion?
He wanted to create the state where people start panicking.
He wanted them. No. He wanted them to panic. He didn't want them to panic.
No, but he was testing them.
Easy to have faith when you see God on top of the mountain.
Right.
There are times that you won't see Him.
Right.
If this Torah is supposed to be forever, and times that we won't necessarily God and see it in front of our face, then we need at one point, and may as well start early to get used to the idea that He's there, even if.
Right. It's 6 hours. How long was Moshe gone? Late. How long is he late? An hour, 2 hours, 6 hours?
A day.
A day? Is that asking too much? Is it?
But it's after 40 days.
Is it asking too much? It was in the end, but it wasn't. You know what I'm saying? So you begin to see that the whole dynamic of everything. You know, we ask the thing, what would cause a woman to do that? How could she? If she was so, had such a lack of self-confidence that she needed anyone or anything to sort of prop her up in her self-confidence. And I'm really nothing without this immediate, actualization, we'll call it. And then I'm nothing alone. Right, so what does that tell you? You could look at one of two ways. I don't want anything to do with you anymore, or we got a lot of work to do. I obviously misunderstood. I thought from my perspective, that since I am who I am and I made you who you are, you would be able to accept that. But it's not true, obviously. There's a lot of work to do. Right?
Yeah, but Hashem knows us. He would know if we're
this
not
is
ready.
The trick. No? Here's the trick. Hashem gives us opportunities to soar or to fall. Of course he knows us. But he's not, you can't say, well, if Hashem knows me, how could I sin? You know, if he knew me, he wouldn't allow me to be in the situation of sinning. Obviously, that's not true. He wants us to succeed, but the success has to come from us. So he puts us in situations where we're tested. And sometimes...
we can take to.
True. Sometimes we succeed. What?
Your Home Depot thing.
Sometimes we succeed. Sometimes we fail. And our goal is to build on our successes instead of our failures. You know, and unfortunately, the more spectacular the test or the more spectacular the jump, the greater the possibility of failure. And sometimes the greater the struggle, right, the almost always the greater the challenge, and the easier it is to slide back, right, and the farther you have to fall. It becomes this sort of dynamic of cheta ega. You know, and in a sense, what you see, we don't have time to do the whole thing, is that after Cheda Egal, Hashem has sort of distanced himself from B'nai Israel. He has to distance Moshe from B'nai Israel. Look at the end of the parsha, you'll see. It's too much. And it has to be more gradual. And many of Chazal understand that the whole Mishkan is a reaction to Cheda Egal. That it happened afterwards. There's a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do. And a lot of this work is about a year, an entire year of the Mishkan. And even after the year of Har Sinai in the Mishkan, what do we learn?
Slav.
Meraglim. Still really not enough. And I think that the lesson is that huge jumps are really hard. They bring with them very, very difficult challenges. This brings us back to our original discussion.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And in real ways, you have to accept the jump and then find ways to kind of deal with it. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to just, you know, expecting it to all happen at once. And those are important lessons to remember and not to expect too much of yourself, in a sense, as you're going through that struggle. You know, it's okay. The struggles are natural. The struggles are real. And you expect it to have been this incredible experience and not to fall back and not to, you know, be the same person that you were beforehand. That's not very reasonable. And you have to deal with that in that context. Mm-hmm. Let's leave it at that.
Thank you.